We're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 14, The Three Modes of Material Nature, text number 10. Rajastamascha bibuya Satvam bhavati bharata Rajasatvam tamascaiva Tamasatvam rajastata Raja, the mode of passion. Tama, the mode of ignorance. Cha, also. Abibuya, surpassing. Satvam, the mode of goodness. Bhavati, becomes prominent. Bharata, o son of Bharata. Raja, the mode of passion. Satvam, the mode of goodness. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Cha, also. Eva, like that. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Satvam, the mode of goodness. Rajaha, the mode of passion. Tata, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance, O son of Bharata. Sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and at other times ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy. Purport. When the mode of passion is prominent, the modes of goodness and ignorance are defeated. When the mode of goodness is prominent, passion and ignorance are defeated. And when the mode of ignorance is prominent, passion and goodness are defeated. This competition is always going on. Therefore, one who is actually intent on advancing in Krishna consciousness has to transcend these three modes. The prominence of some certain mode of nature is manifested in one's dealings, in his activities, in eating, etc. All this will be explained later, in later chapters. But if one wants, he can develop by practice the mode of goodness and thus defeat the modes of ignorance and passion. One can similarly develop the mode of passion and defeat goodness and ignorance. Or one can develop the mode of ignorance and defeat goodness and passion. Although there are these three modes of material nature, if one is determined, he can be blessed by the mode of goodness, and by transcending the mode of goodness, he can be situated in pure goodness, which is called the Vasudeva state, a state in which one can understand the science of God. By the manifestation of particular activities, it can be understood in what mode of nature one is situated. It's just this text is speaking about the three modes and how they can change all the time. At some point you are in goodness, you're feeling peaceful, relaxed, and 5 minutes later your mind is like fully agitated, you're full of passion, and then 5 minutes later you're like, ignorance. The advice we get here from the purport is that actually we need to transcend these three modes. And of course this transcendence is called Shuddha Sattva, and this means pure goodness, so it's closer to goodness. But still we have to transcend these three modes. And this Srila Prabhupada says in this purport that this Vasudeva state, this pure goodness, is a state in which one can understand the science of God. So, because also there is Srila Prabhupada marathon coming, I was thinking we can look a bit into the history of our parampara. And because actually what we are, the conclusion is that we should, there's two things that we should take care. One is achar, personal sadhana, personal practice. And the other is prachar, preaching, giving this message to others. And Srila Prabhupada was in the class he gave today, he was very strong on that if you just sit around and chant Hare Krishna the whole day, probably you're not properly situated. So we should also do something practical. And this something practical means, first of all, giving Krishna consciousness to others. And of course, this means many activities which are meant to give Krishna, which are supporting this giving Krishna consciousness to others. Like Maharaj was, when there was this meeting about renovation of the temple, His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj explained that this the hallway of this temple was such a mess that, that people would come in, you would go with Sankirtan, you will distribute some books, they will be attracted, they will come in, they will see the hallway, and then they would go out. that was, so this also, this many things we are doing are supposed to help this preaching. It's a support for the preaching, like, okay, we have a nice temple, we have this. And the also, it's important, one thing is that our process is mainly chanting Hare Krishna, but it's also studying philosophy. And this philosophy has always been very important part in the history of our Sampradaya. Sometimes you have Lord Chaitanya, like, just to start from somewhere. Lord Chaitanya, when he went in this tour in South India, his preaching was quite simple. He would just go on the street. it's described there. And whoever he saw, he said, he would go to him and say, please chant Hare Krishna, or Hari, or some name of Krishna. And these people, because the environment was so good at that point in South India, they would actually start chanting Hare Krishna, and they would feel the transcendental bliss. And then he would tell them, okay, now go and convince others to chant Hare Krishna. And these people would go back to their villages, and then they would just go to everyone and say, please chant Hare Krishna. And they will start chanting Hare Krishna, and they will also become pure devotees. So it was like pandemic. This was the initial pandemic before COVID. There was this South Indian pandemic of chanting Hare Krishna. Yeah. It was started by Lord Chaitanya. So it was very, very, very simple preaching, actually. You know, like, there was no no philosophy. Also, probably the people were quite cultured, that they would understand, okay, what's Hare Krishna? They would know. And also by the spiritual potency of Lord Chaitanya, they would chant Hare Krishna and they will feel, that they will have this realization. So that's one way in which Lord Chaitanya was preaching. But sometimes there was also a need of giving some philosophy. Like there's when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met Lord Chaitanya, he was he liked Lord Chaitanya. He was like, he was a Mayavadi. And So he couldn't really appreciate Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Person, but he liked Lord Chaitanya. He saw him as a young sannyasi, and he gave him a very, very important advice. So advice of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was that if you want to stay a sannyas, like you're so young, so handsome, and you have to study Vedanta Sutra. Otherwise, if you don't study philosophy, you'll not be able to maintain your sannyas. Which is very, very good advice, actually. Okay, the details, maybe they were not perfect. But this was very good advice by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And of course, we know that then he offered to teach Lord Chaitanya Vedanta Sutra. And Lord Chaitanya, being humble, said, okay, yeah. Okay, you're my my authority, so I have to follow what you're saying, what you're telling me. So he was teaching there Lord Chaitanya Vedanta Sutra for 7 days continually, and Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything. And of course, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was teaching Vedanta Sutra following the commentary of Shankaracharya, so it was quite. Not very nice. Not according to Shankaracharya. So it was not really what Vedanta Sutra said. And then, of course, after 7 days, we have this discussion of between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is asking, so you are sitting here silently 7 days, and you're not saying anything. So, do you understand what I'm talking here, you know, like? And he says, no, actually I don't understand anything what you're talking here. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, no, but if you don't understand, then why don't you ask some questions, we will clarify. And then Lord Chaitanya clarifies his position. He's like, actually I understand Vedanta Sutra, but I don't understand what you're speaking. So there's this discussion, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is convinced that by Lord Chaitanya, by Shastric knowledge, that actually that's not what Vedanta Sutra is saying. So there's, in this case, there was very important, Lord Chaitanya convinced him by philosophy, by Shastric references, by Shastric knowledge. And then you have the preaching to Prakashananda Sarasvati, another very high-profile personality, very high-profile, had many followers. And it was quite common when Lord Chaitanya came to Benares, mostly the followers of Prakashananda Sarasvati had a very, very bad impression about Lord Chaitanya. He said, yeah, he's a sannyasi, yes. But he doesn't study Vedanta, he doesn't know any philosophy, and he's just chanting Hare Krishna. He's just chanting and dancing. So, and so this is somehow traditional position of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Some traditional criticism that we have to hear, you know, like all the time. Like if you go to the center and we have Harinam, some people will think, oh, these people, yeah, they are happy. They drank too much wine, probably. Or other people will say, yeah, this is some happy group. Because if they don't understand what we are doing, then they will be like, they won't take us seriously. There's some sentimentalists. They are just chanting and dancing, and eating. Yeah, okay. Good. So they are not taking us seriously. And that's the position also of Prakashananda Sarasvati and his followers. They were thinking, okay, this Lord Chaitanya, he just chanting, dancing, so he doesn't know anything. And of course, Lord Chaitanya didn't care about this. But the devotees there, they were a bit concerned, and they didn't like to hear this criticism all the time. So after, I think Lord Chaitanya went to Mathura, and then when he came back, he said, okay, maybe let's discuss some philosophy also. So then there's this classical, there's this Brahmana who was hosting all the sannyasis in his home, and he went to invite Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya usually didn't respond to these invitations of Mayavadis. You know. Okay. But on this day, he was inspired, like, okay, I will go and preach to these people. So then he went there. We know very well the story. And then he went to wash his feet, and he was sitting where they washed the feet. And but also at the same time, he was so effulgent. Prakashananda Sarasvati and his followers, they were like amazed. Who's this? What's going on? Because they could understand there's something else. And then Lord Chaitanya exhibits he's very humble. This is one of the ingredients in preaching in many times in our school. Part of the one of the key ingredients in preaching is humbleness. So Prakashananda Sarasvati comes to Lord Chaitanya and says, why do you sit there, you know, like in this dirty place? Just come and sit us. No, I'm low class. I'm a low class person, so I don't deserve to sit with you. So then there's this this discussion that Prakashananda Sarasvati asks him, okay, you are a sannyasi, why don't you study Vedanta Sutra? And first, of course, Lord Chaitanya says, you know, I'm a fool, my spiritual master told me that I'm too stupid to read Vedanta Sutra. So he told me just to chant Hare Krishna. And when I chant Hare Krishna, I feel these symptoms of ecstasy. And then I went to him, and I asked him about these symptoms, if am I going crazy? And then he quoted a verse from Bhagavatam where it shows that if you're advanced, then you have these symptoms. But then when they were a bit open to hearing, Lord Chaitanya is also telling, look, actually, let's discuss Vedanta Sutra, no problem. We can discuss Vedanta Sutra. And then he explains there's some heavy preaching by Lord Chaitanya. He's okay, this is Vedanta Sutra. And he's teaching about that eventually Krishna is a person, and he's not, the Absolute is not impersonal. So that's a bit about Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's preaching was many times it was just chanting and prasadam, but sometimes he would discuss like heavy philosophy with. Of course, he would discuss with his disciples like Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, but he would discuss also to convince others. So he would establish the Gaudiya Vaishnavism by philosophy also, very important philosophy. Preaching of Lord Nityananda we'll skip. And then he also instructed the six Goswamis to write books. Because there's this is the this is the classical concern about Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Why only chanting and dancing? What's the philosophical background? So then you have the six Goswamis who are writing extensive books. And of course they were just living in Vrindavan, so these books were not distributed until you have next generation and you have first book distributor, who was the first book distributor in our parampara group, the the Sankirtan party. Nice, yeah. That's the first traveling Sankirtan. Of course, at that time they didn't have a printing press, so it was a bit more difficult. They have to copy the manuscripts by hand. So one day Srila Jiva Goswami came to instructed Srinivasacharya mostly and the others that they have to distribute these books of the Goswamis in Bengal first and then in other places. And like now we have a van and sometimes we use it to go somewhere. But then at that point it was a bit more complicated to go from place to place. So they filled there was like a big cart. They had a big treasure box and they put all the manuscripts of the six Goswamis inside. And then they had they had 10 guards and 2 cart drivers. So they went to Bengal to distribute these books. And of course, probably you know, there was some problems with these books, because at some point they went through a kingdom, and the king was he was the king, but also he had he was in charge of the dacoit band. He was in charge of the thieves. They had the local thieves. And whoever would travel through that kingdom, if they had, yeah, they would sometime steal, and I don't know how they were sharing. So he was also like that. And he was also, he had an astrologer. This astrologer knew very well many things. And this astrologer told him that, look, in 1 or 2 days there will be a huge and immense treasure going through your kingdom. Immense treasure. And then he was like, okay, we have to get it. So they when the Sankirtan devotees came with the ox, with their ox cart and big box with books. They these dacoits, they robbed the devotees from these books and brought them to the king. So they bought this like a big box with, and the king was thinking, oh, this is, wow, what's this treasure? This, and then he opened it and was like, books? What's this? You know, like manuscripts. So for him, it didn't mean a lot. But the astrologer was right, actually. This was like an immense treasure to have these books. And I sometimes tell people that the holiest place in the temple is the BBT room, because we really have an immense treasure there. We just need to value this. So of course then you have the Sankirtan party disbanded because they were out of books. But and Srinivasacharya was in charge of recovering the books. So somehow after taking the books and he saw what's the content, this the heart of this king slowly started to change, and he also liked to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and at some point Srinivasa Acharya said, "Okay, if you want, I can tell you also a bit something about Srimad Bhagavatam." And then he gave some classes, and then eventually he got alone with the king. I said, "You know, like maybe you can give the books back." Somehow he understood. So Srinivasa Acharya managed to recover the books. So this was the first Sankirtan party. They were going with the oxen cart, and they were going to distribute these books all over India. Just to look at. Okay, next link of our tradition. Then you have Baladev Vidyabhushan. Baladev Vidyabhushan is known for he wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, and it was somehow similar, not so similar, but also a challenge on Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And there was this from these devotees from Ramanuja Sampradaya, and they in the king of Jaipur, and this king was a Gaudiya Vaishnava, but and these devotees from Shri Sampradaya they said that look, these Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they don't have any commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So if you want to be a proper school, you have to have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Otherwise, it means you're not serious. You know, like you don't have a philosophical background. You're just sentimental. No, also the objective to the worship of Srimati Radharani together with Krishna. They said, look, there's nowhere in the Shastras. This is like that. So this king, he was a Gaudiya Vaishnava. So he sent a message to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that, look, there's this challenge, so we need to respond to this challenge. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was quite old, and he could not go. So he sent his disciple, his young disciple, Shri Baladev Vidyabhushan. So he went there to answer the challenge of the... of course, he was very, very learned. And they had a debate, but eventually... Shri Baladev Vidyabhushan was putting forward all the Shastric evidences for everything. But eventually this scholar said, look, you don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And Baladev Vidyabhushan said, look, but Lord Chaitanya, who is the head of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, he's accepting Srimad Bhagavatam as the authorized commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And then they said, yes, that's nice, that's interesting, but you have to have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And it was more like a challenge, like they gave him 18 days to come up with a commentary. And it was more like in the mood of, you come up with a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, or, you're not serious. So, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan went to the temple of Govinda in Jaipur, And then he was praying, and then in a dream, Govinda came and he said, okay, you have to write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Okay. And then he said, no worries, don't worries. I will dictate and you write. That's it. That's the deal. I dictate, I will tell you what to write and you write. You just write it. So, after Śrīla Bāladeva Vidyābhūṣaṇ was started to write, and within a few days he wrote his commentary on his commentary, Govinda's commentary. That's why it's called Śrī Govinda Bhāṣya. So then he brought this commentary with him, and then, of course, the situation was solved because there was also an official commentary on Vedanta Sutra in Gaudiya Sampradaya. This commentary is available. I had my friend was reading it. I tried to read it. It's like you try to read this. Yeah. It's heavy. my friend, when he would sometimes read and fall asleep, and but with this Govinda Bhāṣya it was instant. Like sometimes he would take like 5-10 minutes, especially when he was tired. But with Govinda Bhāṣya it was like it was instant falling asleep. No, it's hard. It's for brahmanas. If you're not a brahmana, I try to read, like I read a few pages, then because it's argument and counter argument and counter. Yeah, just I said okay, it's too much for me. Anyway, okay, so that's a bit from. There's many more examples to say. Maybe next time, other time. The idea is that our parampara was always established based on knowledge and based on books. This is the specific of our parampara and of any parampara, actually. And there was always a challenge that we are sentimental. Yeah, like now, which is even now, you know, like people, if you don't distribute this knowledge, if you don't show the books, then people will say, okay, this is some sect, this is some sentimentalists who are singing and dancing. Then nobody will take us seriously. They will say, oh, sometimes maybe they will say, this is some nice people, but nobody will take us seriously if we don't have the books. So that's to establish this Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we need these books, and to establish this means to establish within ourselves. We need these books. We need to, like, if someone is in serious about his spiritual life, Śrīla Prabhupāda wrote so many books. So everyone should make a vow, like, okay, this lifetime at least I will read Śrīmad Bhāgavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. At least read once. Because this helps establish this Gaudiya Vaishnavism in ourselves first. Because if it's not... we have so many ideas in ourselves, so many all these challenges that we heard. Sometimes they come in our mind. So we need these books to establish firmly this Gaudiya Vaishnavism in our mind, and also outside. We need to distribute this knowledge and give people this knowledge. Then we can establish the idea that this is serious spiritual science. We're not some sentimentalists. We're not some, We wake up in the morning and had some revelation, some ideas. This is very serious stuff. In Slovenia, this is many people have a positive impression about us because they read the books and they see, look, this is not stupid people, you know. But this, we can always do more, you know. Like that's how you establish. So yeah, that was more or less the idea that this is the tradition of our parampara, that we have to establish our Gaudiya Vaishnavism not only by chanting, yes, but mostly by books and philosophy. Okay, so if there are some concerns, questions, challenges. No, just joking. Yeah, it's mostly stories, so that's not some. Okay. Grantra Shrimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.